From the Professional Disc Golf Association, this is PDGA Radio News.
And welcome to the Disc Golf News for the week of July 19, 2004. I'm Brian Sullivan. It's our World's Prep Show for you this week. In the 60-second clinic, Todd Branch has some suggestions on how to make the best of your time in Des Moines before the competition begins. And Mark Ellis has a terrific lizard game to play for your World's warm-up. It'll help you not only learn the courses, but it'll keep the pressure, the competitive pressure, on at the same time. Oh, sorry, just practicing my pressure reaction.
The most important skill in frisbee golf, probably in all of sports and maybe all in life, is the ability to excel under pressure. And as you know, the very greatest athletes in any sport do exactly that.
Yeah, all that and a preview of this weekend's national tour event, the Minnesota Majestic. It is PDGA Radio News, and it's sponsored by Discovering the World. You can discover them at dtworld.com.
Disc golfing should be inexpensive and fun. Discovering the World wants nothing more than to help you have fun. They offer a wide variety of disc golf and PDGA products. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Orders ship within 24 hours, and there's a retail location open 7 days a week to deal with you personally. Call 714-522-2202 or visit dtworld.com to see the full selection available now from Discovering the World.
Time now for the 60-second clinic. This week, professional disc golfer Todd Branch has some suggestions on how to make the best of your time in Des Moines before the World Championship competition even begins.
A little trick that I like to do when I come up to the course that I'm not entirely familiar with is try and picture what the good shot on a hole is going to be, and then think of a hole that I do play all the time on my home course that has pretty much the same shot. You know, like you just need to throw a nice straight 300-foot shot, then just picture a hole that you played a million times back home. It's the same type of shot. Just throw it like you would there. You know, like talk to some of the local players. Locals know the best routes. They've tried them all, and they usually point you to the best way to attack most of the tougher holes. If it's not obvious, just ask around. If you're going to show up a few days early to practice, you've already got to play at least four straight days of golf. So try and take one of those days and at least give yourself an easy day. Don't turn it into 7 and 8 straight hard days of golf if you can help it. Try and conserve a little bit of energy.
Todd Branch is a former PDGA competition director and has been a touring disc golfer for the past 5 years. And you're listening to PDGA Radio News. In the big picture this week, we spend some more time with the lizard lawyer, Mark Ellis. No, he's not really a lizard, but yes, he truly is a lawyer. He's also a master gamesman. This guy can come up with a disc golf game to suit any number of players and any different level of skills. He's got a game ready to go. Everyone has fun, and it's fair for everyone. This week, the lizard lawyer has a lizard game that is perfectly suited to help you learn the 11 different courses that'll be hosting players at this year's World Championships in Des Moines.
Hi, folks. This is Mark Ellis. I am the Lizard Lawyer, and I'm back once again on PDGA Radio to talk about a lizard game. Those of you that are faithful listeners of PDGA Radio know from a prior segment that a lizard game is a frisbee golf game that is fun, it's fair, and it works to improve your game. The improvement in your game should come in one of two ways. Either the game should isolate a particular skill and have you practice it and get better at that particular shot, or it should create artificial pressure, putting pressure on you to make a shot, or, of course, it might do both. The most important skill in frisbee golf, probably in all of sports and maybe all in life, is the ability to excel under pressure. And as you know, the very greatest athletes in any sport do exactly that. They are at their best under the greatest amount of pressure. If you think about the games of Ken Climo or a Barry Schultz or a Ron Russell, these guys are great under pressure. Now, we don't have the ability to be in the number of final nines with big groups and spectators like they do, but we can do things to artificially create pressure And that's one of the things that today's game is going to do. Today we're going to talk about a game called Trumps. Trumps is a game that works really well for particular situations. I'm going to outline an example of that and actually play a hole of Trumps with you as we go through. Okay, here's the situation. You and a couple buddies arrive at a course you've never seen before, anticipating playing the tournament coming up tomorrow. So in the car, you and a couple of your buddies, you want to learn the course. You also want to have fun, and you also want to sharpen your competitive skills. So what normally happens in this situation? What's the normal thing you do? You and your buddies pile out of the car. Everyone goes up the first tee, throws three or four shots, trying to learn the shot for the fairway. If you shoot any shots after the drive, you putt from your best drive. And you go to the next hole and do the same thing. By the end of the day, you've certainly thrown a heck of a lot of shots and warmed your arm out, but really, how much have you learned about the competitive process? Normally, you know it doesn't matter if you make a good drive, because you're going to throw another or another and another. It doesn't even matter. It doesn't matter if you make a good upshot from that drive or if you putt well, because you're not counting it, you're not betting on it, it doesn't make a big difference, you're just out there learning the course. How about a game that not only teaches you the course, but in addition, improves your competitive game? Let's talk about Trumps. Trumps is a non-carryover skins game, meaning you're not playing for the total score of the course. Rather, you're playing for the best score on a single hole. So, if there's a 2 and a 3 and a 3 scored on the hole, the 2 is the best of the 3 scores, that wins the skin. It doesn't matter what you score on the next hole in terms of overall, you're just playing for the individual skins. And if you happen to tie on a hole, there's no carryover. It isn't worth twice as much. Skins is a really good betting format if you just want to bet. On the other hand, non-carryover skins takes the element of luck far out of it. And so it's really a better game if you're doing it for improving yourself in competitive reasons. Okay, back to Trumps. Trumps is a two-drive game. That means everyone drives twice. Everybody gets to pick which of the two drives they're then going to play the hole out with. The other drive that you don't choose just gets picked up. The kicker to Trumps is that there is a consequence to which of the two drives that you play. Your opponent will designate which of the two drives is your worst drive, making obviously the other one your best drive. And if there is a tie for a skin, and one player ties with a worse drive, the worst drive will trump the best drive. So a skin's always a skin. If you two and I three, no matter what drive we use, the two will take it. But if we tie and you use your worst drive to tie, and I use my best drive to tie, worst drive trumps the best drive, you have won the skin. Okay, so who do we have playing our game today? In the car driving the tournament is you and me, and a friend of ours by the name of Bruce Brakel. Who in the world is Bruce Brakel? He is a guy that just recently joined the PDGA Board of Directors. He's a pretty good player, and he dresses just in total ridiculous fashion. Since he's a friend of ours, we can insult him, as we often do for our friends, and today he is dressed every bit as bad as normally he does. Okay, so we walk up to the first hole, and we flip for order, and the order turns out to be you drive first, then I drive second, then Bruce drives third. Remember, we're each of us going to drive twice on each hole. Now, because Bruce is not as good as either you or I, and we want to make a fair game, that is one where players have a relatively equal chance of winning, we're going to give Bruce an advantage. And here's what we're going to do for Bruce. On every hole, we're going to drive twice from the long tee pads. Bruce has a choice of either driving one of his two drives from the short tee pad or designating what we have to throw in terms of one of our two drives. The first drive, we throw anything we want, any way we want, obviously from the longs. But the second drive, he will tell us, if he wishes, that we have to drive forehand, backhand, or roller. Okay, so every hole, Bruce gets the advantage of either driving one from the short or driving both of them along, but designating what one of our drives must be. So here we are, hole number one. It looks like about 350 feet. It's not all that tight. It's not even all that especially difficult. A few trees, but not that much trouble. Bruce chooses, in this particular case, to designate our drives. And he tells us that you've got to drive your second drive forehand. I've got to drive my second drive backhand. So you drive first. In your first drive, you throw backhand. And it's looking pretty good. It's looking pretty good. It looks from where we're standing. You got about a 30-foot putt. Nice drive. Now it's my turn to drive, and I throw a forehand, which is my dominant throw, and it looks great. It looks brilliant. It looks like it's going to park. Oh, the very last second it taps a tree, but still I've got 15 feet or so for a putt. It's looking like a sweet drive. Bruce comes up third to drive, and he throws his shot, but it smacks the very first tree in the fairway. Man, he's got about 100 feet left. What a shame. Too bad, Bruce. Okay, now it's time for the second round of drive. This time you have to throw forehand. Bruce doesn't know it. You throw a pretty good forehand. Your shot's looking good, looking pretty fair. Hit the little tree at the end, and you've got about a 30-foot putt also. Looks like both of your drives are relatively equal in difficulty, both about 30 feet from the basket. It's my turn to drive. I now have to drive backhand, as Bruce has forced me to do. And I throw a drive that looks decent, not too bad. It's short, you know, like I normally do backhand. I got about 45-foot putt for my deuce. Bruce comes up for his final throw. And his second drive misses the first tree, but it hits the second tree. And this drive now, he's got about an 80-foot putt for a deuce. So Bruce has about 100-foot and about an 80-foot left for shooting that. I've got a short one about 15 and a longer one about 45, and you've got two pretty similar drives about 30 feet each. We walk down the fairway. Bruce's 100-foot shot is the farthest away. He therefore declares first. He chooses to shoot his worst drive. We tell him the 100-foot's worse than the 80, and he chooses to play that, hoping that it goes in. His chances of making an 80-footer or a 100-footer are basically the same. He throws the 100-footer. It parks the basket, so he'll have an easy three on his worst drive. We wander up the fairway. Bruce picks up his 80-footer since we're not playing that. I now walk to my drive, my second drive, 45 feet from the basket. Well then, I got a tough call. If I take my short one, 15-footer, that's pretty much a gimme deuce. The question is, can I hit a 45-foot putt for deuce on my worst drive? I'm looking at yours. Well, you got two 30-footers. Really, it's all a question whether I think you are going to hit your putt. If you're going to hit your putt, I need to try to make my 45-footer to push the hole on the worst. If I think you might miss, I'll take the easy choice. I basically bet against you. Pick up my 45-footer. Say, I'm going to play my best drive. Now we come to your two shots. We designate which of the two is the worst. They're about the same, but one of them we have to pick, so we call the one on the right the worst. You line up your putt. You now, if you hit the putt, we'll win the skin, no matter what else, because you're taking your worst, and if you deuce, I'm playing my best. Bruce played his worst, but he's only going to three. So if you hit the putt, you win the skin. You line it up. You release it. It's looking flat. It's looking clean. It's looking good. Oh, but the last second, it drops down a little, hits the top of the rim, and kicks out. I now walk up, can my 15-foot gimme deuce, and I take a dollar from both you and from Bruce. Thank you very much. Appreciate playing the first hole. I win this game. Okay, so that was one hole of trumps. Let's talk about the advantages. The advantage over throwing a bunch of shots where you don't keep any score and have no bet on it whatsoever is we still learn the course. We're throwing a couple drives, but we're throwing drives under pressure. If you don't throw two good drives, your opponent may throw two good drives and drop in his worst deuce. So it isn't like you can let up at any time. Every shot, drive, upshot, or putt is under pressure. You'll notice that you have done half the walking and twice the driving and actually played it. Many times you will find the way the strategy of this game works out, you will end up taking your worst drive for tactical reasons. Now, you're often faced with very tough lies and the obligation to somehow try to par the darn thing in order to push the hole. Therefore, you're not just shooting from the best box, you're also shooting from tough locations. So, welcome to trumps. Two drives, the worst drive trumps the best drive if they happen to tie. Thank you. Bye.
Mark Ellis is a former PDGA competition director. He spoke to us from a tournament at the Boyne Mountain Resort in northern Michigan. And you're listening to PDGA Radio News. The PDGA National Tour rolls into the Twin Cities this weekend for the Minnesota Majestic. Matt Kerner is the tournament director.
The Minnesota Majestic has been around quite a while. It's our 17th annual. Our run has been interrupted only by 2001 Worlds. That year we didn't have Majestic, but our first one was back in 87. And that was actually on the first chain course we ever had in the pretty much in the region. That was Acorn Park that was installed back in 81, back with the old Mach 1s.
So this event has a ton of history. Tell me who has won it in the past couple of years.
Actually, it's pretty easy to say because in the last 4 years in the pro men, only two guys have won it. It's, twice it was Ron Russell and twice it was Barry Schultz. So I guess this year is going to be kind of the rubber match between them.
And how about on the women's side?
Well, it's mostly been, last year was Des Redding, but 3 years in a row before that was Juliana Korver. And then the Masters, of course, has been different every year. Last year, of course, the Smoke and Brad Hammock.
Matt, if I'm coming to the Majestic for the first time, what kind of course challenges can I expect?
Well, we have the two courses set up tough. They're both 24 holes. They're both set up fairly long, but more than that, you better bring every shot. We've got Composure, which is never lets you relax, a lot of tight holes, and new changes for this year. And then over at North Valley, a lot of big holes. The big arms are going to love some of those holes. And then there's a lot of just fun, exciting shots. We've got a lot of elevation changes and water hazards and stuff like that.
And in your mind, what makes the Majestic a truly unique event on the National Tour?
I guess I'd have to say it's the fact that we have such a high concentration of disc golf in this area. We feel it's probably the highest in the nation for any metro area. We have these two courses within 5 minutes of each other, lots of great facilities near both courses, and a great relationship with the parks departments. So it usually shapes up every year to be a great event.
Matt Kerner is tournament director for this weekend's national tour event, the Minnesota Majestic, in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul, Minnesota. He spoke to us from his home in Minneapolis. So, what else is going on this weekend, July 24th and 25th? Allow me to illuminate. Pros are headed to High Point, North Carolina for the Oak Hollow Open, and in Gatineau, Quebec, it's the Capital Classic. Colorado hosting the Denver Classic this weekend, and in Norwalk, Ohio, it's the Firelands Open. Frankfort, Kentucky, the Frankfort Open. Couple of events in Texas, the Games of Texas and Grapevine, and the Live Oak Summer Open in Live Oak. Plus, Holmesdale, Pennsylvania, hosting the Prompt and Big Arm Classic. And in Smyrna, Tennessee, it's the Skeeter Inaugural. Lake Tahoe, the Pro-Am Benefit for Hepatitis C. Alta, Wyoming, Targhee Open. In Terre Haute, it's the Wabash Valley Summer Sensation. Great name there. Illinois, Serie number 2 in Illinois, and the Grand Cities Championship in Grand Forks, North Dakota. Plus, Utica, Michigan, the Gail Vaughn Memorial. Fargo, North Dakota, it's the Oak Grove Open. The whole list, PDGA.com. And in other news, here's an item that escaped at least my radar screen until recently. PDGA Oversight Director Marty Heppner has resigned his position on the board of directors. He says to focus on saving the threatened De La Viega disc golf course in California. So the board of directors has selected Michigan attorney Bruce Brakel to serve in the interim. Heppner's term was scheduled to expire at the end of 2004. Some more world's news for you. We're less than 3 weeks away from what is most likely going to be the largest disc golf event ever. Now, if that doesn't get you all excited, I don't know what else is going to. Last week, we had 658 players registered. As of this week, 767. And it does look like it's going to be a new record. Look for those numbers to go over 800 players. Now, if you were in Michigan for the 2000 Pro-Am World Championships, you know what a riot that was. This one is going to be even cooler. And it's for sure going to be the biggest collection of amateur disc golfers ever, as our pro numbers are down a little bit this year, but the AM numbers are way up. So AMs, you are in for an especially good time. Now, if you did not get an invite, you still want to go? Well, you still have a chance, but this is it. Last chance. If you did not get an invitation, you would like to compete, send an email to headquarters. Send it to office@pdga.com. Tell them who you are. Make sure that you are a current player. Tell them you want in. And especially if you're an amateur player, there's a good chance that you can get in. But the deadline to have all that wrapped up and done is the 27th. So get on it right now, or otherwise you're just going to be a spectator this year. And finally, if you're familiar with what a bag tag challenge is, well, there's a tag challenge going on for the Worlds that is super, super cool. This is a fundraiser. You get to challenge both players within and without the Worlds. You know, if you got a buddy with a Worlds tag, it's 6 months from now, hey, yeah, you can challenge the guy. These are really cool. There's lots of prizes. The money goes to support the entertainment that you'll be enjoying at the Worlds, and of course they're very cool to have in your bag. Months from now, your buddies will look and see it on your bag, and they'll say, "Oh, you were a Worlds man, cool. Where'd you finish? Oh, 972nd." Doesn't matter. It's still cool. It's the Bag Tag Challenge for the Worlds. For more information, just click on the Worlds icon from virtually any page at pdga.com. And that is the Disc Golf News for the week of July 19 for the PDGA. I'm Brian Sullivan. We always love to hear your ideas, thoughts, concerns, criticisms, whatever. Send them to PDGA Radio at pdga.com. Our sponsors are Discovering the World. You'll discover them at dtworld.com. And until next time, keep them in the fairway.